Hello and welcome to my talk. Compared with the previous talks where people talked about I cannot louder, sorry, that's my voice. The other presenters were talking about their company efforts or the big community efforts. This time I will present what happens in a smaller community that is at the bottom of the supply chain. More precise in the Apache Natex real-time operating system. My name is Alain Gerpelea. I'm an open source advocate, member of several communities. Currently the Apache Natex real-time operating system chair, and I work as an open source software architect in the Sony OSPO in Europe. You can contact me on the LinkedIn. Due to the time limit, I will run through the slides, so the disclaimer is there, I will not read it. Most of you probably don't know about the Natex real-time operating system, so I will have a small introduction so that we set the context. The Apache Natex is a small footprint real-time operating system. It uses standards and it's focused on compliance. It runs from systems, microcontrollers that are between 8 and 64 bits. It is available on more than 400 boards. It provides documentation and a welcoming community. Also, it has been used and it is used in commercial products. You can see a few examples of development boards. The one on the right is from Sony. It's called Sony's Presence. History, again, running quite fast. The project has been released under the permissive BSD license by Gregory Knott in 2007. In 2019 has been donated by Gregory Knott to the Apache Software Foundation. Thank you, Gregory, for this donation. And we graduated in 22 as a top-level project. In 2024 and currently, we have the governance of the project as an open governance. We have 24 members in the committee and we vote all the big decisions. We have many products using Natex. You see a few pictures. I hope that they are right, since we discover what companies and products use Natex when companies come forward to us. But otherwise, we have no idea what people are doing with Natex. And you will see soon an even interesting one. So digital records, headphones, drones, robots, protection equipment. You can find all those examples in the recordings for the new Natex International Workshop Conference, where people come forward and they talk about their use cases. Also, Xiaomi is using Natex in the their IoT platform, and Vela is called the platform, and they are contributing a lot to the project. Sure. Also, Natex is was used on a small robot that landed on the moon by the JAXA Space Agency, using Sony's Presence development board, exactly the board that you saw previously. So you have the full announcement and you can Google for it. Now that we have the use case for this operating system, you probably realize why it is important for us to be compliant and why we want to provide as a community the SBOM. So, during our transition from a BSD project to an Apache project, we changed the licenses. You can see the progression and the versions at the bottom. Release time is less important. It is roughly 2 years of work. We had to scan every bit of code and make sure that the licenses are compliant and we do proper license transition. And then, because we identified licenses which were not Apache, we ended up having, especially in the application side, we ended up having a menu item. As you see, it's a fairly common view for kernel where people can select their licenses. It is impossible to build Natex without BSD and the MIT components because they are used in the core, but you can exclude everything else if you don't want it. in your applications. And then we wanted to see, is that really true? So we wanted to have an SBOM to get a list of what's actually built. We go back to that later. What is an SBOM? Because everybody's talking about SBOMs, and we as community were a bit confused. An SBOM is a software bill of materials, a list of all components present in the code base, including license, version, metadata, which allows security team to quickly identify security risk. The definition is really nice, but which SBOM do we need? According to the CISA listing, there are six. Do we need all of them? We were noobs. Design, the software is there. I mean, we don't design anything. People contribute to it. We have no control. Source, we can see the whole sources, but would that help the companies that use our product to really know what they put in their product? Because they will get a list of all the licenses, files, and correlations for the whole NATEX. They will build a subset. So we were thinking that a build SBOM would be what would make our users, our companies, happy. So we decided to go with source to provide a full index of everything that we have for every release, and a build SBOM, which means that when you build, you get exactly what you have. And then we were looking even further, because there was little information when we started this discussion 2-3 years ago that we need SBOMs. Most information that you find comes for products that have an SBOM for packages. And this is how you would have it. You download the package, you get the package data, you get the SBOM data, you assemble it, and you put a product on the market with the SBOM data. Or at least this is our understanding. But in our case, you get code, it has nothing. The company has to generate an SBOM from, whatever. And then you put the SBOM and the software release on the market. So thinking about this picture, we were thinking, okay, that means that we have to integrate the SBOM generation in our build tools so that when you build your binary, you get also the SBOM for exactly the product that you're building. And to put a bit of salt on the wound, we had no idea how to do that. At that point, we had no idea about SPDX. There were a few mentions of it, but we had licenses in clear text. So we started looking at the SPDX. I joined the SPDX community, and it's a really nice community, welcoming community, sharing information. And we decided that we will use this. Also, a bit confusing in our research, which version? Should we go for the latest and the greatest? Should we go for what the other seems to go? So we decided to start with version 2.3, to be more exact. And then when we will see others using the newer format, we will just update the tools. We decided to go as early as possible, and then we will see. The SPDX website provides many tools. I started looking at all of them, and from my findings, I couldn't use them for generating an SBOM for C code for a real-time operating system. So, okay. Then we started looking at the whole landscape of operating systems that are having almost the same goals, from communities, from companies, active or archived. And we saw that we have FreeRTOS, which implemented a built SBOM quite recently. This slide was updated last week when we did the initial investigation 3 years ago. The landscape was different. Then we have the Zephyr OS, which provides both source and build SBOM. And we have Natex, which hopefully will have the first release with source SBOM and build SBOM at the build time in March in the next release. So now we have an idea of what is available, an idea of what other communities are doing, an idea of how we can do it. So we started working. And this was the painful part. Okay, we are an Apache project under the Apache Foundation. We added the SPDX license identifier and we were done, or so we thought. Old code. BSD 0 identified with FOSS ID. I know, it's a commercial tool. I used what I had. A long list of copyright owners, a long list of contributors, information's quite scarce there. Or we ended up with code that has multiple licenses. Really nice. Also identified by the scanning tools. Unknown license. I saw this license for the first time. I don't know how many people are aware with it, but I couldn't identify it from the text. I needed help. And also the tools can be misleading, as you can see here. Quite nice help from the Xiaomi guys, because my tool gave a false positive. I was unsure. They identified it, the code as BSD0. My tool identified it as GPL. So we documented everything. If somebody has anything to say later that the license was not properly checked, we have the answer from two conflicting tools. And I mean, help. The community is based on help. We help each other to make things work. Also, there are SPDX identifiers that we cannot find. And initially, I was looking for something called public domain. Public domain is handled differently in different jurisdictions, so there is no identifier. We defined our own Natex public domain, and I plan to submit it to the SPDX list so that every time when an SBOM is handled by somebody, they can see that it is defined and properly recognized and propagated in the SBOMs. And then we had all the information that we needed. We had SPDX headers, identifiers, and we started defining what we want to do. We wanted to make it fully automatic. We wanted to reuse our build system, which is make-based, and collect information. What information? Our build system looks mostly like this, and it would make sense. So basically, we have the Natex image, we have the files, then we get the sources and the headers are reused and used by many. I try to simplify the whole thing because it's quite massive. So the build system will give us dev files for each library. As you can see, those are the ones that I've been using for the demo. And then for each library, you have the C files that will go in the library, and the C files get the headers for each one of them, including the system ones. So all the dependencies are aggregated in a big file, and then clearing the path so that it can be reused, we populate the depth file with the proper files and paths. This one I already jumped over. SPDX to the rescue. You get a really nice documentation on what fields you actually need and what fields you have to have, what fields are nice to have, what is the format for them. So if you have any SPDX doubts, just go and read the manual. It's wonderfully done. Also, they provide examples, so you can just take a look at their examples. and then you figure out what would work for you and what not. So having also this extra information, we were able to finally have our objectives and define what we need. We decided to go with SPDX 2.3. We decided to go with JSON format because it's easy to parse and easy to transfer to any other format. There are multiple converters over there. You can also convert it to Cyclone DX if that is what you need. We decided to collect file hashes, licenses, and relationship between files for both sources and build artifacts. So that is how our header looks. I'm not 100% that this is all that we need, but this is what we have in this moment. So it's a simple snippet from what we did. I generated the header on 24th. Then for source files, we also collect file name, file type, the ID, SHA-1 sum, licenses, also the license from file and license concluded. If the file has no source, the concluded license is no assert. If the file has multiple licenses, the concluded license will be either Apache or, if you have a GPL, it will be GPL. Okay, same thing for headers. We use our own headers and we also use system headers. Everything is documented with the SHAs from each of the files. Some of them have no license information due to obvious reasons. And we thought that things are done, but they are not. As you would have dependencies on your package manager, we have dependencies on source code. So we are getting at build time different Git clones, basically, from other projects. And in our case, we are using LibTom. There are many more, roughly 50 projects. So in our folder, we only have the rules to build, but we do not have the sources. And the problem is that those projects either do not have SPDX identifiers, or we cannot trust them. So the logical thing to do for us as a community is to help them do a license check, help them get SPDX identifiers on all our projects, which are dependencies, and contribute upstream, because they may need a helping hand. They may be a one-man project. The alternate fix, which I do not suggest anyone to do, is to have patches near the building rules for each file and add the licenses locally. It is ugly, and it will not help the community. So, yeah. And my final slide before some Q&A. I think that we still have a few minutes. This journey was almost 3 years. For me, it started with a lot of information. It was overwhelming information. People were mentioning SBOM, but without any reference to an embedded operating system. SBOMs are great, but they need some kind of definition for somebody that is new. You need an SBOM for packages, an SBOM for cloud, an SBOM for your project. OpenChain and SPDX are wonderful communities. If you have any doubt on anything, just go there, read, ask. People will help. Looking at our dependencies, SPDX identifier may be missing. I bet that that is the case for all of you here and all of you online. Maybe it's good to just talk with the maintainers of those projects to make them aware that you need SPDX headers. It may be good to try to help them. Maybe they do not have the resources for doing this work. And also, coming from both a company and an open source background, I can say join the open source community. if you are interested in a specific area, in this case, OpenChain, SPDX, join those communities. They will help you get better, and you can help them understand what the problem is. Thank you. Great.
Questions for Alin, who was kind enough to leave time.
Great talk. So you spent a lot of time to have source export. Really good what you're doing. But actually, did you request for the source export?
We as a community. So the question was if there was a request for source SBOMs. No, we as a community started discussing this because we are at the bottom of the supply chain. So if we don't provide a build SBOM, the company building the software cannot do it. It has to be implemented in the build system. They will get a full source SBOM. They can do that from the scanning tools. But that is not what their product has. It's, you have a subset of all the sources. Thank you for the question. Yes?
How do you deal with external projects on sources that you might not use on their tree? They have some external dependencies that are just their own stuff.
The question was, how do we deal with external... the question was regarding projects that are not your direct dependencies. They may be tools or test projects that will end up in your SBOM, but they are not used. The answer is, for this project, we don't have them. We only have what we actually use and what we actually build.
So do you strip them out when you get sources?
We don't get them in our source.
Okay.
But this, again, is our case. In other cases, probably there are other answers.
I got the CVI report, CVE report about some tree sitter grammar that I was building, and there was some JavaScript in the source tree somewhere, and the JavaScript was never used, and in the end there was just some misunderstanding about some CVI potentially threatening something, even though it was still working.
I'm sorry, I don't know how to handle it for Java.
Yeah.
There is one last question, I think. Or maybe two. Yes, the source. The question was if there is a difference between source and build SBOM. The source SBOM will be delivered at the packaging time for each release, and it contains all the information for all sources in the project. Well, the build SBOM, let's say that you have a Raspberry Pi Pico, will contain only the files that end up in the final image on your Raspberry Pi Pico with the applications and everything that you selected in the menu. We have time for, I think, one last question. Yes?
How many external projects did you contribute SBOM information to? Since you recommended it, give us an estimation?
The question was how many projects we contribute the SBOM information. In this moment, zero. We are just fixing our own SBOM. But the aim is to help our dependencies and then see how we can help.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.